May my spoken word, like your written word, bring us ever closer to the living word, Jesus, your Christ. Raise your hand if your family owns a manger scene, a creche, a nativity scene. Almost everybody. We're going to create our own up here in about 2 weeks' time for the fourth Sunday of Advent. It'll be like the 23rd or 24th time our donkey Gumdrop makes a church appearance right down the aisle. Let's just say Gumdrop's always been very kind to this building. Who is it that you expect to see around the manger? I mean, who do you have in your own home manger scenes? Who's there? Mary, Joseph, Christ, can't forget Christ, right? Who else? Some kings, some shepherds, some animals, thank you. I saw recently a little nativity scene had a panda bear in it. Not quite sure how the panda got there, but you know, we can all gather around, you know, to see the baby Jesus. Anybody else? Spider-Man. Yeah, I used to put Yoda, which was a little figurine I owned, in my mother's nativity scene. Yoda looked deceptively similar to the nativity scene that she owned, so she didn't catch it for days sometimes on end. But there's always one person missing, it seems to me. Always one. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I think collectively we have seen a tremendous amount of nativity scenes, but never do I think have you ever seen a John the Baptist in the nativity scene. He would be this hairy, unkept little, maybe a little baby, maybe a full-grown man, depending on your gospel. He'd have a little bit of locust stuck between his teeth. He'd be wearing camel's hair and a big belt. And louder than any mall Santa can say, ho, 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 he would be proclaiming, the kingdom of God is at hand. Prepare the way. Prepare the way. I've even received a few Christmas cards already. And of all the images, Madonna and child, the night star, you know, the star that the wise men follow, kind of piercing through the darkness, or the manger scene, or the singing angels, the shepherds, I have yet to really receive a real John the Baptist Christmas card. Now, I did receive one a long time ago. It was handmade after I preached on John the Baptist. It was a picture on the front of John the Baptist in a little Santa Claus hat. And on the inside, you open it up, it said, Merry Christmas, you brood of vipers. John the Baptist is simply out of step, right, with the way that we choose to prepare for Christmas. And you might even ask, well, what does John the Baptist have to do with Christmas anyway? Well, for the Gospel of Mark, devoid of angels or stars or magi, everything. This is how Mark chooses to introduce the figure of Christ. He begins Jesus' story with a prophet who is blaring the good news and baptizing people in the wilderness of Judea. This is how we prepare for the birth of the Christ child, by entering the wilderness. Now, the wilderness is a pretty significant image in the scriptures. It's really less a geographical place and more a theological concept. Okay? The wilderness is where the people of God wandered for 40 years, being led by God. And that's where they learned how to trust God. They had to learn to trust God for their food, manna from heaven. They had to learn to trust God for their water, water from a rock. The wilderness is where the people of God escaped oppression and bondage. The wilderness is where God shows up. We call it theophany, the place where God shows up. The wilderness is where Jesus will go to be tempted, but also to be waited on by angels. And in the wilderness, you are dependent on God in a way that you are not dependent in the cities of our world. John the Baptizer calls people into the wilderness so that they may orient their lives once more around godly traits like peace and grace and love, all the things which are so rare these days. People are invited into the wilderness so that they can finally unclench their fists, let their shoulders drop, and feel the presence of God. John the Baptist calls people into the desert so that all of those worldly distractions may fade away. And it seems to me that in order to get to the promised land or to get to the kingdom of God, one must first pass through the desert wilderness. Have to pass through our own trek into the River Jordan. And I've heard it said that some people want to put Christ back in Christmas. I would actually be okay if we just start with putting Christ back in Christian. And what I mean by that is, brothers and sisters, if there is ever a generation that needs a John the Baptist to call us into the wilderness, it is ours. We are overscheduled. We are overburdened, scurrying here and there. We conform to public pressure without even thinking about it, lacking the purpose to rise above the great rat race. We are overstuffed. We are overentertained. We are overstimulated. We are overly fearful, overly anxious. Let me ask you a question. When you are asked a question out and about, at work, on the street, hey, how are you doing? What's your answer? What I hear? Busy, busy. Oh, hectic week. Y'all, these are not good answers. These are not good answers. There is an article that I clipped out of the New Yorker years ago, and I keep it in my desk drawer. Well, right now it's still in storage because that's where my desk is, but it's probably still there. And the author is Adam Gopnik, and the name of the article is Finding Mr. Ravioli. The story chronicles Adam's daughter growing up and her imaginary friend, whose name is Charlie Ravioli. Great name for an imaginary friend. The endearing and the daunting thing about Mr. Ravioli, this imaginary friend, is that he's always too busy to play with his daughter. The father sees his own life reflected in a string of missed play dates and apologetic voicemails left, even imaginary assistants trying to arrange lunch dates. You know we live in hectic times when imaginary friends have assistants that try to set up lunch dates. And Adam Gopnik laments his hectic life, not only because his daughter is subject to it, but more existentially because he realizes that he is missing something important. He is missing something important. Something that we may just find in the wilderness. It is in the wilderness that we are prepared to be kind of alien people, a little bit different from the world. It's in the wilderness that we change maybe how we celebrate Christmas and how we live day to day. And you might ask, how exactly do you get to this wilderness? Well, I was shopping yesterday, did a little Christmas shopping on Carrollton and stopped off at Massey's Outdoor. And in the parking lot is a huge mural, huge, of John Muir's face, the great hiker and naturalist. Ginormous mural. And it says, a quote from John Muir, "Wilderness begins in the mind. Wilderness begins in the mind." John the Baptist calls us today into the wilderness with a message of repentance. And repentance is one of those, it's sort of an exalted word in the church, isn't it? But really, simply, it means to turn. Repentance simply means to turn. we turn towards the reality of God in a significant enough way that people recognize that we are somehow different. It has transformed us. We repent of our despair and we turn towards hope. We turn from our anxiety and we learn how to trust God. We turn from the world of lies and illusions so that we might become truth tellers, even when it's difficult, and justice seekers, even when it costs us something. We turn towards God that allows us to grieve in a society that too often practices denial. And we can practice grieving because we know that God is with us. That we can look at the world and grieve. And we can turn towards God to give us strength so that we might live self-sacrificially in a world where we're too often told to just look out for number one, maybe your tribe. To turn towards God is to give ourselves over to love. Self-sacrificial love. To love all people as Christ, who is coming, will love us. And repentance is hard work. It is hard to do in the busyness of this world. The world is busy. It's even coming in at us now. It never stops. Maybe this Advent season, you can find a place to be quiet, a place to be still, a place to experience your own wilderness, away from the incessant noise of the city, and so that you might see God. And dressed in camel skins and a leather belt around his waist, you might find John the Baptist, who is as much a prophet for Jesus' time as he is our time. Go and be baptized in his word. Go into the wilderness where you will see, perhaps faintly at first, and you will hear, perhaps softly at first, the dream of God for you. The dream of God for you and for all people. So I invite you into the wilderness this Advent season. Prepare a way for Christ. Make a straight path and celebrate Christ being born in you this season.